It would be unkind on my part if I didn't take just a moment before we begin to express my appreciation for the opportunity to be with you today. I'm looking forward to getting to meet some of you for the first time and to be reacquainted with some of you. And I appreciate so much the elders asking me to speak today. But after I heard Brother Guy teach Bible class, I thought, what am I doing up here? He does an outstanding job. And I'm so thankful for him and the work that he is doing and has done and his stand for that which is right. If you enjoy the sermon, my name's Mike Richardson. If you don't, my name's Tommy Smith. And so just remember that as we go through this lesson. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and upon your confession be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Having every sin blotted out and washed away by the blood of Christ, be added to the family of God and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, while we're standing and singing, we'll be praying within our heart that you would come and make that confession that you need to be restored to Christ and that you would make your life right with God Almighty. If you take your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that was read just a moment ago, I just want to read the latter part of verse 9 for the thought of our study. Well, the Apostle Paul said, cast down, but not destroy. You know, I was reading one time, and I heard about a man who I admired. Well, I didn't particularly admire the man. I admired his talent. He was a great football player. I don't always admire his morals, so I won't mention his name. But one time they asked him. They said, why is it that after you're tackled, you get up slowly and go back to the huddle? And this man said, well, I learned a long time ago that if I got up and I rubbed my left leg, the next time I'm tackled, they're going to put their helmet there and try to hurt it more. And if I got up and I rubbed my back, when I go up back the next time to get the play, that's where they're going to hit me. So he said, I've learned to just get up slowly, go back to the huddle, and learn to play the game hurt. And I thought about that as far as in regard to the religious life of a Christian. That there are many people who have the impression that if you become a child of God, that you don't suffer, that you don't have any problems. But I want to tell you that's not right. That we live in a sin-cursed world, that we live in a fallen world, and that it rains on the just and the unjust. And thus, even though we are the people of God, we understand that there are going to be times our faith is put to the test. And the secret is we need to keep on going, though we're hurt. The Apostle Paul said, I've been cast down. Paul said, I've been low. My faith has been put to the test. But he said, my faith was not destroyed. So this morning, for just a few moments of our time, I want to talk about being cast down, but not destroyed. I want to talk about keeping our faith, even under the most difficult and trying circumstances. The first thing I want us to think about is that as the people of God, we need to keep going, even though we're physically hurt. And when you think about two great examples of that, the most shining and striking example is that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, many times we recognize that He was both God and man. But we must never forget that He suffered as a man. Though He was divine, that did not take away His humanity. And I recognize there were a lot of things I may not understand about that, but I believe by faith He was both God and man. And yet, my friend, I think about how He suffered as a man. Sometime in your own private study, go back to the book of Isaiah and the 53rd chapter. And you'll find how it talked about how He was bruised for our iniquities, how His chastisement was upon Him because of our sin. And the Bible reveals to us that Jesus suffered greatly. You know, my friend, when you read Jesus at the end of His life, when He was scourged, you know, that wasn't just some mild beating. They often called that the slow death. Here was the Son of God, and they were bringing that cat of nine tails down on His back, tearing the flesh. Most of the time, you didn't walk away. You were lucky to crawl away from a scourging. Many bled out. Many times, the internal organs would be revealed. And I want you to think about Jesus suffering physically. I want you to think about when they took him and they put him upon the cross. They put that crown of thorns upon his brow. They've mocked him and they've beat him and they've spit in his face. And now, my friend, there he is hanging on the cross. And I want you to think about, my friend, though Jesus was suffering physically, I want you to know that he may have been down, but he kept his faith in God. He said upon the cross, he said, "I thirst." And you know, my friend, they didn't give him a drop of water, but what they gave him was sour wine. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And so I see Jesus suffering upon Calvary's cross, and yet, my friend, though he was down, he kept his faith in his Father. But then, if you take your Bible, look at the man we studied just a moment ago, the Apostle Paul. And notice that Paul is another example of one who suffered greatly. Now, you in your own study may go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read verses 24, and then drop down to verses 26 through 30, and you'll find where that man of God suffered many things. He'd been beaten, he'd been stoned, he'd been left for dead. And that man talked about many of the great trials he suffered because of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your Bible, in the book of Acts and the 16th chapter, you'll find that the Apostle Paul had gone to the city of Philippi. And you'll remember when he went to Philippi, they didn't give him the key to the city. But when he went in and preached the gospel, they beat him with many stripes. And then they put him in prison, bound him in fetters. And if you were to ask Paul that day, "Paul, was that a great day?" I'm sure he wouldn't say, "No, it was a fantastic day." Even though that night he praised God in song and in prayer, I want you to think about, my friend, he had to endure great problems in life physically. I want you to think about, though he was cast down, he was not destroyed. He kept his faith, even though at that time he hurt greatly. You know, I've been to the hospitals and I've seen people to the point that they just were ready to die. I've had some people just say, "Mike, I hurt so bad, I'm just ready to go." And you know, my friend, I've thought about people in life who've had to endure great pain. I don't know this morning the condition of everybody here, but I'm sure there are some here who hurt more than words can describe physically. They're going through great trials, great trouble, great pain physically. But you know what I admire? I admire when I see people that even though they hurt physically, they come to the house of God. You know, there are times we need to stay home if we're sick, that it's not the heroic thing to come because we may make others sick. But I want to tell you something. I've seen people come out who couldn't walk in. They had to be pushed in. But they wanted to be here. I remember my grandmother who had rheumatoid arthritis walking in disfigured. And people would say, "Why are you here tonight on this cold night?" And she said, "I can hurt here worshiping my God as much as I can sitting at home." And you know, my beloved friend, I've seen some brethren, if they stub their toe, they're out 4 weeks. But now they're not going to miss work, and they're not going to miss an Alabama football game. I say that because I'm a Tennessee fan. We might miss a few because we're not playing so well. But I'll tell you something. When we for God, and we are willing to forget that God is great, and we do not continue on, before long we can be cast down and then lose our faith. But I want you to think about something else. We need to learn to continue even when we're undergoing mental stress or when we're undergoing pain emotionally. You know, too many around with their feelings hurt and they quit serving the Lord because they said, "This one didn't speak to me," or "A friend told me something that was not so," so they just sew up, pout, and quit serving God. But you know, my friend, I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think again, here's the perfect one, and have you ever thought that he had to go through mental strain? Have you ever thought that they accused him of being a child of fornication, saying, "Oh, there's the one born of a virgin," and you'll find they mocked him. And then you'll find in the book of John in the 11th chapter, you remember he was friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and you remember Lazarus died, And when Jesus came to the tomb 4 days later in verse 35, in the shortest verse, yet one of the most powerful verses, the Bible says Jesus wept. Now someone may say, well, Jesus knew He's going to raise Lazarus. That's right. But I'll tell you something, my friend. He still had emotion. He still hurt. He saw the sting of death. He saw what happens. And I want you to remember that Jesus wept. Jesus went through mental strain. Jesus, it said, groaned within Himself in John 11. But then if you think about it, think about when Jesus was betrayed by Judas in Matthew 26. Have you ever thought about how that hurt? Oh, I'm almost persuaded that sometimes emotional pain, mental stress, can hurt just as bad or if not worse than physical pain. You think that, my friend, when Judas placed that hypocritical kiss upon the cheek of the Lord, that probably hurt more than when they slapped Him in the face. Because here was one who walked with Him and talked with Him and saw the miracles, and yet, my friend, at that time, He sold Him. He betrayed Him. But then look again in Matthew 26, and you can drop down, and you'll look and see where Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Can you imagine the pain in the heart of the Lord when Peter denied Him? And I'll tell you, my friend, that here you find Jesus cast down emotionally. He was hurt that His disciples betrayed Him. He was hurt that His disciples forsook Him. And yet, my friend, though He was down, He continued to do the will of God. He held on to this faith. But then again, look at the Apostle Paul. And permit me again to use this man as another example. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, notice this man is having problems. And notice what he says in verse 5. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. He was a man that said, there's division on the inside, fighting on the outside, and Paul is concerned about the local church. He's concerned about the church in general. He said, I'm concerned about all those churches that he had helped establish by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about, here is a man who emotionally hurt. He was down. And yet, my friend, though he was down, he did not quit. But I want you to think about a third example. There's a man I admire and I like to study from the Old Testament whose name is David. And if you have your Bible, you might look in the 55th Psalm. And one of my favorite verses is in verse 6 where David said, oh, if I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest. Have you ever felt like David? You're going through troubles in life and you just wish you could get away from everything that you're undergoing. Maybe you're facing depression. Maybe you're undergoing anxiety. Maybe you're undergoing great trials in life and you just wish you could find a way to get away from it. David had to endure the fact that his son Absalom was trying to take his kingdom. There was his own son rebelling against him. David had to endure the fact that he had committed sin with Bathsheba. And David was concerned about a lot of things at that time. And David said, I wish I could just sprout wings and fly away from it all. Have you ever felt like David? David was cast down. But one thing I'll tell you, David never did, because in Psalm 55 he said, I'll cry out to my God. I'll call upon my God. I'll cast my care upon my God. But that brings up something else in our study. And that is, how do we continue to keep the faith though we're hurt? Just exactly what do we do when our life seems to be tumbling in and falling apart? Maybe tonight or this morning, whatever time of day it is, we've fallen back. I didn't think we'd fall back that far, but we fell back an hour. But I want you to think about this morning. How many things can cause our faith to be cast down? You ever thought about church problems? Now, I don't know if at O'Neill you've ever had church problems. I pray you have not. And if you haven't, I pray you never do. But I'll tell you, I've been places where there were problems in the local church. And I'll tell you, that cuts to the heart. When there are problems in the local church, when there are attitudes that are not right, when people are at odds with one another, I'll tell you, my friend, you'll find that church problems can cause you to be cast down. And if you ever find somebody that says they enjoy church problems, there's something wrong with their heart. Church problems can make you feel low. Now, what about family problems? Have you ever had problems in the family? You know, my friend, I think that when you look out, you'll find that the majority of us, will be honest, we'll say there's been problems in the home life. I think of that man in Luke 15 whose son went out and lived in the far country in the filth of sin. And you remember that when he was in the filth of sin, no doubt the father's heart was aching and breaking because he was looking forward to his son coming back. And how many parents have had their children out in the far country and their hearts are breaking. And many times we look at the parents and blame them. We need to recognize that when people become of age, they're free moral agent. They make their own decision, and parents aren't always to be blamed. Sometimes we've been unkind to parents when we need to help them. But likewise, when young men and young ladies go out, when they fall short, you know what they need? They need someone to help them up. I'm not talking about condoning their sin. I'm talking about helping them come back. But many times I find that we browbeat the young people because we expect them to have the maturity we have after years of being serving God and knowing God, and yet they're young and they're tender in years. But that brings up something else in our study. When you have to undergo sickness, oh, that can hurt. I was looking at your announcements and I looked at all the people that were sick, and I'll tell you something, my friend. Not only does it hurt the person that's sick, but the caregiver goes through a lot, do they not? When you have to care for an aged parent, when you have to care for a spouse or a child, I'll tell you, my friend, that that can cause great heartache in life. Not that you are sad that you are doing it, but because you're so concerned about their health and you want them to get better and you're concerned about what's going to happen. But when death comes, I'll tell you, my friend, you can be cast down. You know, sometimes we act like in life that death shouldn't bother us. I'll tell you something. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he said, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. Notice, we still sorrow. It's okay to shed tears. If Jesus shed tears at the grave of Lazarus, it's okay to cry today. I've had some people almost act like it's wrong for a Christian to cry. I'll tell you, that's not right. I had a man one time tell me, preacher, he said, when I die, I want them to have a party. I said, not me. I want someone to miss me. I told my wife to pay someone to cry at my funeral. I want someone to act like they're glad not glad I'm gone. And you think about when we've lost somebody, the pain that's there. It can cause one's faith to be put on trial. So what do we do when our faith is on trial? When we're cast down, but we need to keep from not being destroyed. Now, one thinks they're cast down. That doesn't mean they're destroyed. There's a difference between being low and losing your faith. So what do I do to maintain my faith? I got three things with you, three or four things in the lesson journals. The first thing I want us to think about is what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, he said, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. You know what we need as a spiritual family at O'Neill? We need people to help us when we're down. When we're going through problems, and I care not if it's an elder, a preacher, a deacon, a Bible class teacher, or whoever it might be, when one is struggling, you know what we need? Our brethren to pick us up. The world's kicked us enough, we don't need our brethren to kick us. And so when I'm down, I need somebody to help lift me up. Someone may say, now, preacher, I don't think men of God ought to get down. Well, my friend, I'm not arguing what one might not ought to do, but I'll tell you, there have been times I've been mighty low. There have been times that I've been cast down. And I want you to think about there have been people that have come and have helped me, and they've helped me to be sustained in the time when my faith was weak. I'll never forget one time, Robert Jackson was a father to me, and I called him. I was going through some troubles, and I said, "Brother Robert," I said, "I think maybe I should just quit preaching." Now, after you hear my sermon, you might say, "Yeah, you might have." But I'll never forget what Robert said to me. He always called me son. He said, "Son, you lean on me, and I'll lean on you, and we'll get through this together." You know what the spiritual family at O'Neill needs? People that we can lean on when we're down. Somebody that'll help us up when our faith is cast down. When I'm going through the problem of maybe in my family, or I'm having problem with sickness, or I'm going through some struggle with sin, I need somebody to help me instead of try to hurt me. And can I say, my friend, we don't need to be gossiping about one another unless we're trying to help one another. I'll tell you, we need to look at one another with love and remember we're trying to help one another get to heaven. Years ago in the Special Olympics, there was a race. And as soon as they had started the race, one little boy fell. And one of the contestants that had run ahead looked back and saw he fell. He turned around and came back. And then all the others that were running looked and saw that these others had turned back, they stopped running and came back. And you know what they did? All of those runners locked arms together and they crossed the finish line together. You know what that shows me? As the people of God, that's what we need to do. Lock arms and help one another finish the course. Get to heaven. That's the goal. And if that means that someone may have to rebuke me, they do so, as Paul says in Galatians 6:1, with a spirit of gentleness, considering themselves, lest they also be tempted. If I go to somebody, I'm going to try to approach them in a way I would want them to approach me if I'm wrong. That's how we approach one another. Don't come guns a-blazing, but we come out of love, concerned about their soul. And that shows love. Secondly, we need to have a deep, abiding love for God. We need to remember He's our Father. And we need to remember that as our Father, that we put our trust in Him. One of the statements that puts me to shame you'll find in the book of Job in the 13th chapter and verse 15 is when Job said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Job said, "No matter what, I'm going to trust God." Trust my Heavenly Father. I need to have that undying love for God that no matter what, I'm going to serve Him. Because I recognize this life is only temporary and it is nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory that awaits me if I continue to be faithful to Him. But thirdly, as we talked about in our Bible study with Brother Guy, we need prayer. Prayer. You know, I don't know exactly how God answers everything, but I believe God hears our prayers and answers our prayer. Now, He may not answer it the way I ask, but I believe my God will hear my prayer and answer it. And I remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7 when he said, "Cast your cares upon the Lord." Why? He cares for you. Think about that word cast. If anyone knew would know about casting, it would be Peter the fisherman. How many times did he cast that net out for fish? And what's he saying? You take your problems and you throw them up to God and you know that God cares for you. When I'm cast down, I need my brethren. When I'm cast down, I need to have an undying love for God. And when I'm cast down, I need to remember to pray and trust God. But there's one last thing. We need to remember the reward. What was it Paul said in Philippians chapter 1? Paul said, "I'm ready to depart and be with God, which is far better." There was a book written by a man called Your Best Life Now. For a Christian, this life is never going to be your best life. It's the one to come. And I want you to think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 when he said, I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. And he knows that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for him. Not only for him, but for all who love the appearing of God. And he is saying, whatever pain you endure in this life is worth heaven. Nothing worth giving up your faith for. Because I'll tell you, my friend, the most valuable thing you possess is your soul because it's eternal. I've said this, I may have said it here, I don't remember where I've said it, but I'll tell you one thing. My youngest son, Sam, has cystic fibrosis, and it's a genetic disease. They've made some progress in medicine, but he has to take 3 hours of treatments a day. And one day when he was real little and he had his machine on, he looked at me and he said, Daddy, will I have cystic fibrosis in heaven? I said, no, son, not in heaven. He said, I can't wait. You know what the problem with a lot of us? We don't see the reward like we should. And we're going to keep the faith because one day we want to be with God. We want to live with God for all eternity. There's nothing worth giving up your faith over. Now you may be cast down. You may be hurting. But my friend, don't let anything destroy your faith in God. My prayer is, as I look over this congregation, is that your faith is strong enough that no matter what comes, you hold on to your faith in God. If you're here and you need to be made right this morning, our prayer is that you would see that you may be cast down, but you don't have to be destroyed. You can make your life right with God. As together we stand and sing, we cordially